Welcome back to Coast AM. This is Lisa Gar, and my next guest, most people know because of his books on love and relationships and Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. It was his number one best-selling book. It's actually the number one best-selling book of the decade, and over 50 million books sold, 50 different languages. I'm sure that's climbed since now. It's even actually being made into a feature film. But today, John is talking about health. Because he realized a long time ago that relationships, strong relationships, are dependent on more than just strong connections and good communication and better understanding. They're influenced by our health. So we are going to be talking with John Gray, who has done over 20 years of research finding healthy solutions to the most common ailments affecting our happiness in life. He is in a fountain of information where it comes to health, and he's got a new book out. New book alert called Staying Focused in a Hyper World, Natural Solutions for ADHD, Memory, and Brain Performance. So we're going to talk about that a little bit when we come back. And I also wanted to mention that we did have a free gift for you guys on our website from John Robbins, our first guest. And if you want to check that out, you can go to theawareshow.com. That's theawareshow.com. So you can check out that information there for you as well. We will be right back. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. This is Lisa Gar, and my guest today, well, tonight, has dedicated 20 years, probably a lot more, to finding healthy solutions to the most common ailments affecting our happiness in life. He continues to look for these balances of proper nutrition and exercise and natural supplements specifically that help you really feel better. His best-selling book was Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and it's an incredible book, number one best-selling book of the last decade, and the number one relationship book of all time. But now he's joining us to talk about his latest book called Staying Focused in a Hyper World, Natural Solutions for ADHD, Memory, and Brain Performance. John Gray, how are you, my friend?
It's a real pleasure to talk with you, Lisa.
You too. I was on a bandwagon earlier about our time in Croatia, and John was there as well, and we had an amazing time. It was beautiful.
Well, you know, right after the first night I was there, somebody asked me about my new book, and he had two adopted sons, and one was from Russia and had been abandoned by his parents, which is a huge stress, and that high stress can cause ADHD. And here was this little child who's 13 years old, who's been on medications, ADHD medications, for 5 years. And, you know, they've actually increased the dose every year because it changes the brain. And I gave him some of my supplements that we'll be talking about tonight. And literally, the parent came to me the next day. This is Gabriel. And he came crying and hugged me and said, "I've never had my child slept. My child is relaxed. He's told me about his feelings. He's thanked me. He told me how much he hated the medication. He's never opened up and shared," and their whole experience. So what I see over and over every day, that's just an example that we share in Croatia. Every day I hear stories from people who, by taking natural supplements, are able to turn around the symptoms of ADHD and often very quickly go off of any medications they've been on regarding that.
Now, you did this yourself, right? Your particular experience with Parkinson's, which I didn't even know about.
Well, that's why, you know, John Gray, you know, who's devoted his life to relationships, you know, that's my whole thing, is gender differences, better communication between men and women. I'm 62 now, but when I turned 50, I had Parkinson's, the early stages of Parkinson's. And I'd just been to the funeral of my wife's aunt, who we were taking care of, who had Parkinson's. And anybody who has a relative with Parkinson's knows that once you're diagnosed and you start taking the medications, you can continue to treat symptoms, but their condition actually gets worse and worse until eventually the medication doesn't work at all. So I knew it was just a clock ticking. And my doctor said, "Oh, don't worry, this medication will help you," and so forth. But I, being a researcher, which is, you know, my life, that's my thing. I research everything and I think a lot and try things. I finally found with the help of many naturopathic doctors, many researchers, and so forth, I found a natural protocol of natural supplements, just foods, actually, that helped me, for me, take away those symptoms, and I've been symptom-free for 12 years. And
wow.
The big realization for me, though, was that my wife noticed this, is that suddenly I had changed. I had, you know, become much more relaxed, had more energy, was more present with her. Because she always said, you know, you're always like somewhere else when I'm talking to her. Because my mind is. I'm a high achiever. I'm highly moving on to the next thing and so forth. I've written over 20 books. And, you know, I'm a busy guy. And I'm still busy, but I'm way, way more relaxed. And I started to understand that by healing the condition that gave rise to Parkinson's, I also healed the condition that gave rise to ADHD. And that's when I began writing about it and talking about it, teaching it. And since then, thousands of people have the same thing that helps children go through ADHD helps adults make commitments in relationships, keep the libido going, keep the brain function going, balance the hormones. It's the same situation. So I've identified all these causes of it that have happened since 1980. There's been a huge shift in mental illness or mental conditions, ADHD, yes, obsessive compulsive disorder, Asperger's symptom, autism symptoms, all these different conditions have pretty much increased by 35 times since 1980.
So, why? Why is that?
Well, that's the, you know, you got a preview of that from John Robbins just a few minutes ago. You know, several of the actual conditions that cause it are, you know, the high amounts of toxicity in our food on one hand, and the lack of nutrient-dense food on the other hand. So those two aspects. You know, we talk all about, there's some other researchers have found just taking kids off of bread and putting them a wheat-free diet, gluten-free diet, and giving them some extra omega-3s, DHA, it's a kind of omega-3. Just that has taken away symptoms for many, many children. And what that's about and why so many people have problems digesting dairy and they have problems digesting wheat today, it's becoming phenomenal, is we have weak digestion. And still the emphasis isn't on why do we have weak digestion. It's like get rid of these foods and those foods. But how about actually healing the digestion? And that's what I had to focus on, because anybody who has ADHD, Parkinson's, or dementia, or Alzheimer's, and these are big concerns for me, my younger sister has Alzheimer's, and my older brother has dementia. These are serious conditions that are happening to so many people. Over half of the people over 84 years old have Alzheimer's. That's massive, and that's only going to increase. One out of six women over 55 will experience serious debilitating dementia, one out of nine men.
Well, considering that that's one of the largest growing segments of the population as well, those over 65, what's going to happen to this country?
Absolutely. It's shocking. This is a real reality. When we look at the more extreme version of this, the same thing that's happening to our children is actually happening to us as adults at different stages of life. It shows up differently. For children, it shows up as autism. I'm sorry, it shows up primarily as ADHD on a bigger scale. But our autism rates, for example, if we look at the what's called the autism spectrum disorder, which includes Asperger's and autism, so different degrees of that, is you have used to be in 1980, it was 1 out of 10,000 children had been diagnosed with autism. And right now, this year, CDC, that's our government reporting agency, has reported that it's 1 out of 50 children. 1 out of 50 children.
Is that because the spectrum increased or because of the awareness increasing, or is it really truly because that many more kids now are on the spectrum?
Well, clearly it's being diagnosed more because we are aware of it and there's more studies done on this sort of thing, without a doubt. But that's not responsible for the dramatic. It's just all over the chart. I mean, think about the difference of 1 out of 10,000 children and 1 out of 50 children, which actually translates to 1 out of 42 boys. It particularly five times as many children or boys that are stricken by this.
Really?
This is just massive. And in California, it has the highest amount. It's even in some of the cities, it's theoretically that they've been reported to be 1 out of 20 boys being born right now have autistic spectrum disorder. The highest concentration is, ironically, San Jose area, where you have all the computer technology and so forth in San Francisco area where I live in. I mean, this is it probably is more diagnosed because people are richer there. But at the same time, there is more Wi-Fi. Almost the whole city is Wi-Fi. you know, and that is one of the contributing factors. You have to think about what's causing this as like a blender of various things coming together. And I wouldn't say Wi-Fi is a major contributor, but a mother with a baby in the womb exposed to Wi-Fi, we know now that, you know, children in the womb are much more vulnerable, and then in the first 2 years they're much more vulnerable because that's when the brain is developing. And there's research now that shows that the proteins tyrosine, phenylalanine, and tryptophan, responsible for making dopamine and serotonin, which are these feel-good brain chemicals that allow our brain to function well, that transport system is inhibited at a time when the brain really needs it the most. I mean, the brain is continuing to develop for those first 2 years in an explosive rate. And with that much brain development, if it becomes derailed, certain developmental issues get missed.
Could it get derailed from high-frequency, you know, sound waves? I mean, what is it?
We're talking about the EMFs there. We're talking about Wi-Fi. And that being just one aspect of it, I don't want to put it all on that. I think the people say, well, what is the major contributing factor that went from 1980 to now, which is just outstanding in its growth? Every year, more and more and more, you'll see the graph of increasing reports of autism. And remember, ADHD is actually just a moderate version, and we'll get to that. They're all symptoms of a condition in the brain called oxidative stress.
Okay.
And most people don't know what that is. There's over 150,000 studies on PubMed about oxidative stress and how it affects our health. And yet most people have never heard the term. But this oxidative stress in children, as well as in dementia, as well as in Alzheimer's, as well as in Parkinson's and ADHD and memory loss and obsessive compulsive disorder, not being able to sleep at night, low energy, all of these things that we see are so common today. And, of course, depression and bipolar are all directly linked to, and multiple sclerosis, oxidative stress in the brain. And simply put, what oxidative stress is, and this is important for everybody because this is a unified theory that's over 100,000 studies pointing this out. When you have more free radicals produced in your brain than antioxidants, then you have this oxidative stress that causes brain cells to die, and it weakens the connective tissues in the brain. And this is like, you know, people my age in our 60s and beyond and even at 50, they start noticing that they can't remember things, and then a few minutes later they remember it. Well, that's simply because the brain is literally slowing down because these connections are getting weaker and weaker due to oxidative stress. Now, once you identify this as a cause, then you have to look at, okay, now what causes oxidative stress?
Right. What causes the free radicals to run, I mean, so rampantly?
That's right. And what causes us to not have enough antioxidants? For
right.
example, we all have heard blueberries are wonderful antioxidants. They neutralize these free radicals, okay? So wonderful. I have a bowl of blueberries every day, and it's proven to decrease your risk of dementia, of heart disease, and cancer. It's proven. Harvard does the studies. But it just reduces the risk. It doesn't mean you're free of it. What they've done is studies that antioxidants are so important, and there's such an importance to it because we're deficient in our own body's ability to make antioxidants. See, this is the big issue here, is our body, our liver, and every cell makes its own antioxidants to neutralize free radicals. But we are doing things today that inhibit the body's ability to make antioxidants, and as a result, we have excess free radicals, and that causes oxidative stress, which damages different functions in the brain. And if we having this is what I do in the book, is I explain this simple science. I have over 100 pages of scientific studies references to this. You know, people have read my other books. They know I don't use references. But when you're talking science and you're talking nutrition mm-hmm. and you're standing up against the drug industry, pointing out that these drugs that you're giving children at 6 years old, these drugs are no different from methamphetamines and cocaine, and they work in the same way on the brain.
For
it's one
kids.
Of the major causes.
Wow.
Most children, if they take Ritalin and they get some benefit, not all do, but some do get benefit, within a year they have to double the dose. Now, why do you have to double the dose? Because
Addictive.
It has changed the brain.
Mm.
And there's a study from a very powerful institute in America, highly regarded. They did a study on taking Ritalin for 1 year on children, when they took the children, they did the brain scans, and they found that it reduced the brain's capacity for dopamine function, and that's focus. This book is all about restoring balanced focus, flexible focus, not hyper-focus, not inability to focus, but normal focus.
Yes.
And they found that it was reduced by 28%. Something called dopamine transporters were changed by 28% by taking these drugs. And yet doctors will casually say, you read about it in every book. There's hundreds of books now on ADHD, which all recommend either behavioral therapies, which are good, but they don't get rid of oxidative stress.
And they don't change the chemistry in the brain. Yeah.
Right. Or they talk about just taking these drugs, and they make it seem so easy for parents. And I just want to say on this show that everybody listening I know has somebody they know that, you know, has a child, or they're being tempted or told they should take a drug, ADHD, Ritalin, and that there's no side effects. And some schools will even say that if you want your child to go to the school, you have to take this drug, and that is illegal.
Are you kidding?
There's actually,
what? Really?
Yes, they have. Oh, they've threatened to take children. They have taken children away. Child protection agencies have taken children away because parents chose not to give their children these drugs. That has become such a problem that our Congress had to pass a law saying that is unconstitutional. A school cannot demand your child take medication, and parents should know that and stand up for that.
Absolutely not. My God, I had no idea that that was even happening.
Yeah, that has been happening, and you can't go to a doctor, by the way, and ask them. This is what people should always know about anything to do with drugs and medication. If you were to go to a doctor and say, gee, should I stop taking this medication? They can't tell you to stop taking a medication. If they do, they can lose their license. They can be sued. You always want to go to them and say, you know, I'm healthier now. I think I don't need this anymore. Mm. Would you give me your help and show me the dangers of going off of it and what's the right pace? Because, you know, if a child's been doing it for 6 years, you need to slowly go off of it over 6 months. If you've just done it a few weeks or a few months, you can go off it pretty quickly. But these drugs, all drugs, they affect and change the body by inhibiting normal processes. And they end up making problems worse. And you have to slow, it's dangerous to quickly go off of them. But you can't go to a doctor and say, you know, I'm feeling better, I'm taking better, I'm eating better foods, I'm taking natural supplements. You know, their eyes will just roll. And if you say, should I go off of something, they'll say no. They have to. There's actually in California, there's a law that says if a doctor tells you not to take chemotherapy and radiation, let's say you say, you know, I don't know if I want to do chemotherapy and radiation. Do you think I should do it? If they tell you you shouldn't do it, they can go to jail. It's a felony. And they can lose their license.
I have definitely heard that, and it's something that is not in providing us with any type of empowerment around our own health situation around us. It's a rule that's in a world that's being constituted through different types of institutions. It has nothing to do with our own ability to make our own decisions. But can you take away oxidative stress and lessen the free radicals in the brain through different types of supplements? I mean, can you actually...
Well, there's supplements that can help your body to make its own antioxidants, and there's actual foods that have antioxidants. Those are two categories.
Okay.
But let's say, and that is the remedy. You need to have more antioxidants to neutralize this oxidative stress. However, let's say that you have headaches and it's because you don't have enough antioxidants, and I give you an antioxidant pill that takes away your headache, but you keep hitting your head in the head with a hammer.
Then
you defeat the purpose. So it's important, before I go into the proven natural solutions and staying focused, the new book, in that book, you go through the proven national. And when I go through the natural solutions, so many parents say, oh, we tried everything. And I go, what did you try? They haven't tried any of the natural solutions that are proven to work. I have listed 10. And just for the purpose of freeing parents' minds when they think, oh, the natural stuff doesn't work, the doctors will say, oh, that stuff isn't tested, it's quackery. I have study after study after study, double-blind studies from America, from Canada, from New Zealand, from India, from Europe, all around the world, Italy, double-blind studies and regular studies from university studies showing natural supplements to be more effective than Adderall, Ritalin, and other ADHD stimulant drugs, and no side effect. You heal the brain rather than continue to create the problem in the brain.
And give the brain the ability to do what it's meant to do. And This is also helpful for adults as well, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. John Gray is my guest, and we are talking about staying focused in a hyper world. We will be right back. This is Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. This is Lisa Gar, and my guest is John Gray, and we're talking about his latest book, which is called Staying Focused in a Hyper World, Natural Solutions for ADHD, Memory and Brain Performance, all about restoring focus. And we will come back with a lot more focus with John Gray. This is Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back. This is Lisa Gar. This is Coast to Coast AM. My guest is John Gray. We're talking about his latest book, Staying Focused in a Hyper World. And what we've been talking about is oxidative stress. Too many free radicals floating around in the brain and the body. Not enough antioxidants to actually take those free radicals out of the system. And it's more than just a bowl of blueberries. Now, John, you live in up in Northern California, right there near where Robin Williams tragically took his life, right around the corner from you, right? In that,
right. We live in the same town, and we're the same age.
Ooh. So what's the environment like up there?
Well, we all mourn his loss. We all do. This. The whole world does. We love Robin Williams, and people are shocked that this could happen, that how could somebody with so many fans and so much love and such a good personality.
Right.
But if you stand back and you look at Robin, right from the first day when it was Mork and Mindy, he was extremely had ADHD.
I guess you could say that. I saw him as an extremely talented comedian.
Well, it's that hyperness. If you've ever met him, you know everything is one second after another. That's what so many talented comedians are, ADHD, of the creative type. Now, what I explore is that often people say to me, is ADHD real? And I know many people are thinking that. And I have to say, well, what is it you're really asking? Is ADHD over-medicated? Absolutely. They're just looking for more and more people to give their drugs to, drugging out America. But is the condition real, and is it overdiagnosed? No, it's underdiagnosed. There's actually much more. The same condition that creates the common symptoms of ADHD also create obsessive-compulsive disorder, which is rampant, also create people who are depressive, who have mood swings. That would be the sensitive temperament. There's the creative temperament, which is going to be, you know, your Robin Williams people. And these are the people that are very vulnerable to when they have oxidative stress, they tend to go towards drugs. If you look at Charles Dickens, he used opium. If you look at Ernest Hemingway, Edgar Allan Poe, they committed suicide. They're both known to be addicted to alcohol. Howard Hughes injected himself with opiates. Marilyn Monroe was addicted to barbiturates, which is another form of Ritalin.
Tendency for that? Why is that?
We can go to Tchaikovsky, addicted to alcohol. I mean, go down the whole list. Jimi Hendrix, the Beatles, all the, you know, all the famous comedians, famous actors. What happens is what stimulates the creativity is their minds are really, really fast, okay? And they're seeking new ideas because if they don't go after new ideas, they feel bored. The real essence of what happens, what ADHD is a symptom of this oxidative stress that interferes with the normal functioning of dopamine. So dopamine is this brain chemical that gets produced in a variety of situations. When you're really interested, like if somebody's like, wow, ask John this, if they're interested in this interview, dopamine is being produced. If I'm giving a talk to an audience, lots of dopamine. If I was a singer performing in an audience, lots of dopamine is being produced. When they're clapping for me, the more famous people get, the more dopamine gets stimulated. You know, people used to ask me when I was at that sort of the height of my popularity out there with my book, Men Are From Mars, they say, what's it like to be you? I mean, to get that much, you know, appreciation and acknowledgement and recognition, what's that like? Well, all of that acknowledgement, appreciation, and recognition is a form of love, and high amounts of it, higher than normal amounts of it, stimulates dopamine, pleasure. It feels good, but it's like a drug. And what happens is then it overstimulates the brain. You can eat sugar and get the same thing. Heroin, for example, does the same thing. Heroin comes from the root hero because it makes you feel like a hero. It's a drug that makes you feel like a hero, even though you haven't done anything to earn it. So these are all of our addictive substances tend to produce high levels of dopamine that then changes the brain where the receptor sites to dopamine begin to become less and less and less, so that the body's not being overstimulated all the time. So it's a balancing act. If you give me a huge amount of dopamine, then I have less receptivity to dopamine. Literally, there's something called the downregulation of dopamine receptor sites. You have less. And when you have less, then suddenly normal life is boring and flat. So you're motivated to seek stimulation. So for some people, if you're OCD, you seek the excessive stimulation of control. If you're more the bold temperament, you seek the stimulation of taking risks and being impulsive and taking action and sort of assuming everything that's good for you is good for everybody. These people can sometimes be a bit narcissistic. Then there's the sensitive types. They're affected by everything. They usually have very sensitive digestion. They're the ones who have all the allergies a lot. But also they feel most hurt in relationships because they tend to be more empathetic. In a sense, what I'm saying is everybody has these natural temperament differences. When you have ADHD, your temperament difference becomes a hyper difference.
So it's the behavior once more of the behavior.
That's right. Whatever your behavior naturally would be and the natural challenges that we would face as children, they become hyper challenges. So creative
adults,
people
I see.
Are, mm-hmm. you know, you're born a creative person. You're born a more sort of administrative person. We're born differently. We all have our unique differences. Those differences with ADHD, when you have oxidative stress, they become exaggerated. And for writers, they express themselves, musicians, these creative types, they have all kinds of drug addictions, particularly because what's happening is they're putting themselves out there in the world, getting this high recognition, then just somebody walking by and say, hey, I liked your book. Well, that's nothing. I need 1,000 people. Mm. I remember when I started getting standing ovations of thousands of people, and I'd come home, and you know, my wife would say, you forgot to empty the trash. and I
right.
feel like so sort of defensive about that. What, my wife can't, you know, appreciate me for what I'm doing? And she said to me, and it made sense to me, she said, John, I can never be a standing ovation for you. I love you. You're my mm-hmm. husband. Don't mm-hmm. expect me to be 1,000 people in an audience.
That's a wonderful thing to say for Bonnie. Yes, she's so clear.
She taught me so much. I mean, you know, Men Are From Mars, Women From Venus is written by me, but I learned about women primarily
through her.
From her.
She's such a rock. She's so solid. That's great. Okay.
She's grounded, and she won't take anything from me, I'll tell you.
She's a strong lady, yes.
I learned from her.
Yes. But these behaviors, they become exaggerated when the oxidative stress is too high, where there's too many free radicals floating around the brain.
It inhibits the dopamine function in the brain. And this is, it's a hard concept for people to get. So let me repeat it again. Imagine you go to a Rolling Stones concert and you're all excited, okay? This is fantastic. The Rolling Stones, you're dancing and singing and getting high on the music or whatever you're taking. And that was, anything that's highly pleasurable, that's stimulating lots of dopamine. Your brain reacts to that by what's called down-regulating dopamine receptors. Now, the next day after, if you're just a normal person, you go to a concert, the next day you feel a little flat. And then gradually those receptor sites will upregulate. And then life's normal again. But it's like for every high, there's a low. And the problem is if you go really high, the low lasts longer. And during that low period, you seek out stimulation to bring you back up again. And the way we seek it out in our today's society, and these are some of the causes of ADHD, is processed sugar products and bread, okay? Mm-hmm. So anything that raises your blood sugar to high levels actually stimulates the same part of the brain that cocaine and Ritalin and Adderall and all these destructive drugs do, stimulates the same part of the brain.
That's why they say sugar is just like cocaine to the brain.
It is cocaine to the brain, the nucleus accumbens, and it's the same thing. And I want to mention this for the people who say that Adderall and Ritalin, there's no big side effects. You know, I'm sitting here looking at on my computer the new book, and I've got 9 different universities in the United States, you know, starting with Harvard, talking about that they've proven with brain scans that taking Ritalin and Adderall and stimulant drugs causes damage to the nucleus accumbens of the brain, which is the part of the brain that motivates us to be a part of the world, that gives us life. And when that part of the brain is damaged, fully damaged, you start having Parkinson's, and another symptom of it before you get to that place of Parkinson's is ADHD. And for certain temperaments, particularly the creative temperament, it's more of a bipolar state where you're And one day you're really up and you're out there. The next day you crash down until eventually you just don't want to be alive anymore. And that's what happened to Robin Williams. I mean, you can see it right from his first performance how hyper he is. He's one of the most hyper people. I know him. One of the most hyper people I've ever met is Robin Williams. In a sense, almost addicted to the humor. You don't really connect. He's a wonderful human being. I can't say anything negative about him. But he was also, as we know now, very much depressed in his own world. And he was a drug addict. He took cocaine. He went to rehab. He just came out of rehab, which is another one of my, hopefully my book will get to the rehab centers to explain that rehab is not just a matter of sitting around, kumbaya, talking about feelings, doing therapy. I love all that. I'm a therapy. That's therapist. That's all helpful. But if you don't address the biochemistry, none of it sticks.
Yes.
And
yes.
All he needed was just some of these supplements that I've seen work for thousands of people over the last 12 years. I've helped so many women particularly go off of antidepressants. I've helped so many men. When men have ADHD, their testosterone levels drop. You see, this is an epidemic. Time magazine just came out with a whole edition on testosterone levels dropping in men and what are the symptoms of it. And from my point of view, everything was 50 years old in the information. They're just thinking, give people, if you're low in testosterone, give people testosterone
cream, yes.
Rather than help the body make testosterone again.
Yes.
Rather than, and they even was saying that people, as they get old, they're supposed to have their testosterone levels go down. Well, we just heard John Robbins talking about the people that are healthy at 100, and there's research showing that those people who are healthy at 100 have the testosterone levels of a 25-year-old man. I have the testosterone levels. My testosterone is 25% higher than it was in my 20s, or actually my early 30s. That's when I tested it, so I don't know what it was before that. But I know how I brought it back to normal, and part of that is one of the basic, you know, I give talks to doctors and I'll say, does anybody here besides giving somebody testosterone know how to make testosterone and why the body's not making it? And they just say people are getting old. That's nonsense. There's reasons why testosterone goes down. The first and foremost is that you can't make testosterone if you run out of dopamine. Dopamine is like if there's a fire, okay? Say a fire happens.
Uh-huh.
That's danger, life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Your dopamine levels go up. And for men, it causes their testosterone levels to go up. It causes your body to make more testosterone. You have to have dopamine to make testosterone. And what ADHD is, and it shows up differently as adults. You see, it shows up in men as low libido, lack of interest in their relationship.
Really?
Kind of like, yeah, just think about a child who has ADHD. That child, listening to their mother, gets distracted and is going all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're an adult, and you're a man with ADHD. Your wife is talking, and your mind is wandering. You're wandering over to this problem you have to solve or something over here. It's really hard to stay focused on what she's saying because what she's saying doesn't immediately get to a point, and it doesn't have to do with a problem that he has to solve. There's nothing he can do about it. His mind just goes, where's the dopamine? And his testosterone levels start to drop as well. So we have to learn that you have to get rid of the extra. First of all, you have to restore normal dopamine levels in the brain, dopamine function. And we'll move into some of the natural supplements that I've seen work in a couple of days for people. It just seems miraculous.
Wow.
But there's another insidious cause, both for ADHD, but also for low testosterone in both men and women, and that is all of these xenoestrogens in our environment. And that's
the bad estrogens,
pesticides,
right?
Mm-hmm. Pesticides, they go into the body, and the body treats them like estrogen. And when men have lots of estrogen, their testosterone levels drop. You know, I'm looking at another study here as we're talking about some of the pesticides that are being used. If you eat food that's not organic, they use pesticides. And those pesticides they're using right now, they've already been banned in other countries. They're already banned in America, but they're not stopping them right away. Some of them will be banned by the year 2016. But they're still in our food. And even when it's fully banned in America, it will be in some other countries, and our food comes from other companies.
Well, it still could be in our food supply no matter what because it gets into
the soil. That's right. That's right. And the reason they're taking it out is because it's getting into our water supply and it's hurting the wildlife. And what they found, they went to nine different sites where they use these pesticides and just looked at the water table there, and they measured the frogs. And the male frogs had female genitals. They had partial male genitals and female genitals.
From this particular pesticide?
Yes.
Wow.
And this is the biggest pesticide used in America, banned in other countries.
And
this is that people should just put a hex. You know, when you see non-organic foods, you can't eat them. These pesticides are still there. They go into your body. They're called endocrine receptors. Even plastic bottles do it. The PCBs in plastic bottles have now proven to be endocrine disruptors that interfere with estrogen and testosterone levels and interfere that interferes with brain function.
And this is what causes the bad estrogens in the body and the estrogens that don't tend to wick away or balance out or flush through the body?
That's right. So what we can do is there's some supplements for that. There's Chinese supplements that are known to help the liver get rid of estrogens. That's called Myomin is a wonderful product. And you just take it for a few months to help your body cleanse. Now, the other approach is to actually do cleansing diets. That works as well. For me, I did Myomin several years ago and cleansed. My testosterone levels went up, and I haven't done it since. Don't need to. But what I do is I do a little cleanse every year, which is a special cleansing diet to cleanse out, to not eat a lot of food so your stomach is not spending all this energy digesting. Then your body can remove these estrogens. You help your body to go through a cleanse.
Go through its natural process and restore itself back to its innate ability to
heal
itself.
That's right. And, every tradition throughout history, even before we had all this toxicity that's over the chart, over the top, even before all the toxicity, every tradition in the world has always had traditions in their religions of cleansing, where you would go on fasts. And every tradition where people got sick, they would go on fast. They would have fasting diets. And we're all basically stressed out with oxidative stress. Fasting diets can be very helpful.
Interesting. And they would usually do them for religious purposes or for ceremonial purposes, and they actually help the body as well. Interesting.
I get high as a kite when I do my cleanses, but it's a simple thing. It's just going for a few days on a liquid diet, whether it be bone soup, vegetable soup, whether it be green smoothies, whether it be my superfood shake, which is what I formulated to help me recover from Parkinson's, which is lots of amino acids to the brain. But if you eat your food liquid, it goes through the system. It's like pre-digested, basically, and your body can get rid of it very quickly, and you can take that energy and start cleansing the body. So that's a real key factor.
Now, in terms of adding back in the supplements, these are cleansing is important first, or should you start with the supplements, or does it matter?
Oh, I always tell people to start right away with some of the simple supplements.
Okay.
You know, one of them is a liposomal vitamin C. Vitamin C is a miracle antioxidant. It's the ultimate antioxidant. The problem is when you take a lot of vitamin C, it goes right through your body.
Right.
And back in the 50s, they were curing polio, MS, a whole variety of diseases and sicknesses. Even today, they're using it for curing cancer. Is IV drips where they put the vitamin C in very high doses into your bloodstream. And since then, now they've discovered in the last few years, different universities have discovered this process of creating liposomal vitamin C. So they enrobe the vitamin C into a substance called phosphatidylcholine. And choline is a B vitamin, and it's the same material your cells are made out of, so your cells will absorb it. And they found that it's like a $30 for a month supply of liposomal vitamin C. You're taking huge doses, and it's the equivalent, just taking a teaspoon of it, it's the equivalent of a $200 IV drip.
Wow.
You know, one of my friends.
What is this called, liposomal?
It's liposomal. There's about four companies that produce it now, liposomal. And I feel like the one I recommend at my website is the best. It's from the University of Colorado, and I think they have done the most research on it. But there's a whole range now of supplements that are liposomal, which means that your body holds on to it. There's a liposomal DHA. DHA has been proven, even the federal government allows you to make the claim that it will increase your intelligence. Remember, this work is about brain performance, and here's a form of omega-3 that will actually increase your intelligence, and that's a claim. You can with natural supplements, you can't make many claims, but they allow you to make that one.
Well, that's good. Well, we're going to take a quick break and find out more about this because there's so many different things. Get your papers and pens ready so you can take some of these notes down on these different types of supplements that John Gray is talking about. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. My guest is John Gray. I'm Lisa Garr.